The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors. Your source for everything paranormal. Para-X.
Hey, this is Dustin Perry from Ghost Hunters, and you're listening to Dave and Mike on the Odyssey Files. It's not the best show you're ever going to listen to, but it's also probably not the worst.
Oh! Kim, what are you doing?
Well, I'm telling Mike and Dave, it's time to get on the show.
Oh, well, the Odyssey Files starts now.
Good evening, Para-X. It is going to be Monday night at 7 o'clock when this airs, but you are listening to the Odyssey Files, and I am your host, Michael O'Neill. With me, as always, is my co-host, Mr. Dave Sawyering. Good evening, Dave.
Good evening, Mike. How are you on this beautiful Thursday evening?
I'm doing wonderful because I'm not even going to chit-chat with you. Because
wow.
We have finally, after well. Months and months of trying to tire down, I guess you could say, our guest tonight is Miss Elizabeth Saint. Good evening, Elizabeth.
The time traveler.
The time traveler.
I feel like it sounds better and cooler if we just say that I've been time traveling this whole time.
I knew that. She told me that, Mike. She asked me not to say anything to you because you were all bugged out earlier. So I was like, okay, I'll keep it quiet. And then when you're actually come on, you can tell Mike about it. So
now everyone's confused.
Thank you. Thank you. I always like being kept in the dark. I guess I don't even know where that came from. Maybe I'm just
the future.
It's the future. Okay. It is future prophecy. It'll be you leaving a message for yourself that you'll understand in the future. Yes.
And this remember is what we tell you that never happened.
Right.
Is the whole point of this show suddenly to like make me not understand a single word you guys are talking about? Because you're succeeding. I'm all flustered. I don't know what to say now.
Well, the last time I spoke to you guys, I was in a graveyard.
Yep.
Yes, you were kind of strolling around. You were like, hey, what's going on? I'm in a graveyard.
Season two. I couldn't tell you that then, I don't think. But we were actually filming season two.
You well, after...
We knew.
Afterwards, when we were chatting, after the show, we were talking about it.
Yeah,
because you said you had like contacted something like that was over like 1,000 years old. And
Yes.
But not... Yes. But during the show, we did not talk about that. That was afterwards that we talked about it.
Yeah. So the first time you were on, you were in a graveyard. The second time that you were on set of Paranormal Lockdown and could not tell us again where you were.
That's right. Oh, where was that? What did it look like?
You wouldn't let us know.
There was a
you
wall never, behind you and like a chair.
That brings no, back. That you wouldn't use video.
I mean, it was like it looked older.
Jim Beam.
You wouldn't use video because you couldn't show us anything.
Yeah. No, you just came on audio.
Oh,
so we had no idea what was going on. And then
super secret.
It was super secret.
And then technically the third time you were on, you were driving in the car in the rain 2 weeks ago.
Yes.
But that was all for about 10 minutes before we
That wasn't even on because that was when we made this. I was like, to where you need to be and then we'll just get together. Later
let me congratulate you, Elizabeth, on the joining the third time guest Hall of Fame here on the Odyssey Files. It is a very prestigious Hall of Fame award.
What do I get?
We're not sure yet, but it's going to be nice. Don't worry. It'll be nice.
You already got it.
With Mike and I on it being like, you're a winner or something like that. I don't know. I'm just going off the top of my head.
Well, I was going to say, you already got it. Dave, you saw Dave applaud for you. That's all you get.
That was perfect. That's all I needed.
Well, but for the moment, I mean, that was just a cheap fix. We're gonna we'll send you something honorable.
Okay, honorable. Okay,
honorable.
You get the opportunity to come on again.
No, how about that? How about we make a really cool custom shirt and like you wear it on an episode of Paranormal Lockdown.
Cool.
You up for that?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just saying. Right.
They'll probably blur it or gaff me.
Yeah, they probably will. Yeah, they probably will.
So we have to make it like a code shirt.
Oh.
If you wear special glasses, you can kind of make out what it says.
Totally.
Then we just need to pass out those glasses.
We're going to send out 300,000 pairs of these really sweet glasses. All right, put these on right before Elizabeth comes on. So.
Wow. That's all I gotta say.
That was her idea, not mine. I'm just running with it, man. That's what I do.
That's a great idea. Like, you want another experience? Buy these glasses, and you never know what's gonna pop up in an episode.
Are we doing the whole 13 ghost thing where these special, you put them on, all of a sudden Slimer appears, the augmented reality?
Well, that was like Chad. That's what he wanted to do when I asked him that question. He was like, yeah, I want to create these glasses that, like, I can see ghosts, and I'm like, well, that's a sweet idea. Like, it sounds just like 13 ghosts.
That's,
we had Chad Lindberg on last weekend, so.
Yeah. I was just talking to Chad.
Were you?
Sweet. Yeah.
So that was his idea. That's what he wanted to create. He wanted to create these.
Making a big announcement tonight.
Who is
Chad? Oh, it's tonight?
Yes.
Oh.
Which, when you air this... He has made a big announcement.
Correct, because this won't be aired until Monday. Right?
This is awesome.
Yep. So we can talk freely about it. So what's the announcement, Elizabeth? Come on, spill it.
Yeah. So we already know what the announcement is.
Check real quick to see if he's posted it yet.
So you don't know what it is?
Oh, I know what it is.
Oh, come on.
Let me see real quick.
She doesn't want to get it in hot water. I don't blame her.
She's not. This isn't going to air until Monday.
Oh, yep. Yes. So he will be on the upcoming, he's an upcoming cast member of Sneaky Pete.
Nice.
Sneaky Pete.
It's a great, if you have not seen Sneaky Pete, you have to check it out.
Yeah, I have.
It's great.
I haven't seen Sneaky Pete. Mike?
No, you got Amazon? I don't even know what it is.
Yeah.
I do have Amazon Prime, yes.
Yeah, that's where you can watch it. Yeah.
It's a great series.
Yep. Oh, sweet.
Okay.
Anyways, nothing paranormal related.
Oh, man. Lindsay was so hyping that stuff that I thought for sure it was going to be like this massive, like a paranormal event or something like that, that I was going to have to fly out there myself to do.
No. Yeah. Sorry.
So much for Alcatraz, right, Mike.
Yeah. We were really hoping for Alcatraz.
That's what we were shooting for. He's like, oh yeah, it's gonna be out in California, and I'm like, ooh, yeah, Alcatraz. Yeah, yeah. I might have to fly out there too if we're doing Alcatraz.
So, paranormal show.
Oh, yeah. Oh my goodness. Yeah.
Are we recording? Just kidding. So since we were already talking about equipment, why don't we start there?
Okay. Yeah.
So. Obviously, you have your own line that you... Is it for sale yet? I remember the last time any time that we've talked about it, it's like it's coming and you're continuing to make more. Is it out for, like, mass sale yet?
No, anything? It's not up for mass sale. No, because I... So I went from Ghost of Shepherd Sound Season 2, and then we started filming Lockdown, where I was building equipment for that. And then we filmed Season 3, and then right after that we filmed Paranormal Lockdown in the UK. So I got back from all that in August, and then I just have not had time. I've just been building for specifically the one show.
when I was watching Lockdown, they would put your equipment on. And I'm like, but they wouldn't like say that it was yours. But I was like, ah, Elizabeth made that.
I hope it's just like that every time you saw it. That
was you know, it's probably. Like, I know something everybody else doesn't know.
Yeah. And you're the only person that thinks it's cool. What? Else what? Like, oh, what the hell is that? I get some of the weirdest messages, too. Some people give me a lot of shit for some of my equipment. But it's more like because of what I'll make it out of. Like I had the hamster ball the one time, and people really didn't like that. I was thinking to myself, man, it's the only thing that's already pre-built that you don't have to 3D print that has a side door that you could suspend electronics in, and it glue in the dark. Like, that was cool to me.
Honest to God, do not tell me that the hamster patrol, like, people came knocking on your door about how you're abusing their favorite animal's toy.
No, it gets better. It gets better. Someone was like, come on, really? A hamster ball? Like, oh, why can't you think of anything better? And I'm thinking to myself, damn it, that thing was detecting motion. But not only that, it was sending me a notification. It was Bluetooth out notifications to me, and I didn't even have to be on the property or the premise. It had its own hotspot. It was talking to me, sending me live stream data. Like, that was cool to me. I'm sorry, was it a hamster ball? Like, what was just erasing all the other facts that made it cool in the first place? It was like lazy investigating, you know? I'll just set up this stuff, and when it goes off, we'll come back. We need to sleep for a couple hours.
Yeah, exactly.
Honestly, like, I was surprised by some of the things people would say. I'm like, oh, man. But I think it just goes back to the fact that you just can't please everybody.
No. And you got, there's always going to be a troll or two that are going to be hammering away on you for no matter what you build.
Yeah, that's true.
Because if you'd have built this really beautiful, gorgeous 3D printed object, somebody would have been like, really? You wasted all that material from a 3D printer to print a hamster ball?
Why didn't you just use a hamster ball?
Why didn't you just use a hamster ball?
Exactly.
That's exactly what would have happened. Yes.
Oh, that is so
that's what would have happened. True. So, yeah. So don't worry about it, man. Blow that stuff off, because we don't deal with people like that either. You know, we don't need that negativity in our lives. Just sweep that all to the side. Keep doing what you're doing.
Imprison electronics, not animals. Like, I thought I was doing a good thing.
I thought you were doing a good thing too.
I thought it was great. In fact, I want one. So,
do people see this video?
No.
No.
Just audio.
Okay.
Yeah, you're good.
I'll show you some stuff.
Oh, I was going to say, because we would have no listeners whatsoever if all they had to see were Dave and I week in and week out.
Oh, but you can always do like a supplemental aspect of it.
I was going to show you some
gadgets, but.
Yeah, well, you could show us. They won't be able to see them. But you could show us, like, after the show. How about that?
Yeah.
If you got a couple, we can see them, like, after the show. Okay. So, I was going to actually ask you just to kind of move forward. So, can you share with us what's your, like, favorite new device that you're working on? Or you're going to, like, be working on tomorrow? After this show is going to give you, like, a ton of energy and a ton of new thought. And you're going to be like, oh, my God. That is why I love those guys. Because they give me fresh ideas to move forward.
Yes. Yes. Man.
That's what we're here for. So, just so you know.
I don't have any projects right now that I'm working on, because I just finished building all summer. So, taking a small break.
I mean, anything in your mind, though? Do you have anything like that's kind of back there that is the next thing that you're like super excited to do? And you don't have to tell us exactly what it is, but maybe like what it might do.
Yeah. So there's definitely some things that I really want to expand on, because the gadgets that I built for Lockdown, some of the best evidence we captured sometimes would involve me manipulating light. And I experimented with that a lot when I was working on lockdown, and just changing the environment if I could. I noticed that there are a lot of great effects, or utilizing things in a totally different perspective. And sometimes it was very basic. A good example of that is, and people will see it in the Higginsport episode on season 3 of Paranormal Lockdown. So everyone knows about, 3D mapping, and everybody uses that technology. I don't use the SLS. I don't use Kinect. I found a really great company, actually. The Orbic, per se, is what the actual piece of equipment is. But they have a fantastic depth sensor. And actually, whenever it actually goes off, it's pretty legitimate, because it doesn't have, read false positives and stuff like that. And that's really what I like about it. Anyways, that's not the point. So I would, one of the experiments that I incorporated into it was I actually projected it onto this massive stage, and I got this massive projector. I didn't know they made projectors this big, but it had a really large throwing distance. So it was in a gymnasium, and about half court, I set up this large projector, and I projected the 3D mapping camera onto the stage, and Nick and Katrina stood up there. And one of the coolest captures that we got from that episode was, Katrina out of the corner of her eye sees something, and Nick reacts to it too. And they both see and say that they think that they saw some sort of shadow person. And, that wasn't picked up on the 3D mapping camera, but what did pick it up was Rob. Everyone knows he's the camera guy for Paranormal Lockdown, and he actually picked it up on his camera. And if we weren't projecting light into the space onto the stage, we would have never gotten that capture at all. And it was such a great validation, because they both felt it, reacted, and saw it. But then it was oh, we also captured it. And it was little moments like that. And I started to play around with it more further in season 3 of Lockdown, but then also in the UK. And I did all kinds of light and fog and laser experiments and mirror experiments. So I've been really trying to push in that direction, just to see what happens from it.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Where do you get the inspiration for making your guy? I mean, is it casual conversation with people? I mean, do they say, I would really like this, and then an idea pops in your head on how to make it? Or how does the process go to think of how to make any of these gadgets and conduct any of these experiments?
That's a good question. That's a really good question. I think some of it, I have a massive imagination. I'm huge into science fiction. So I like to think that, some of it has to do with, I've always, since I was a kid, been fascinated by programming electronics to simulate human experiences, because I wanted to know how closely we can make some sort of object or any kind of sensor simulate what we actually experience. And then another aspect of it is just I've always been told that I'm a person that thinks outside the box. And sometimes that outside the box will just come from a very simple conversation with somebody, or it will come from me wanting it to exist. So I want to try and see if it can actually happen. But yeah, I think it's kind of a combination of all the above for me, really. But I don't know. I mean, that's a really great question, because I'm always trying to experiment with something different. And a lot of times what I found in Paranormal Lockdown is a lot of it really stemmed from a need for something. Sometimes they, for instance, one of the episodes on Lockdown, they were talking to the owner of this one location. And in the middle of interviewing her, a mirror actually fell off the wall. They went to go check it out, and the nail was actually still in the upright position, where the wire would have had to have been lifted up and over the nail to actually fall on the floor. And that was fascinating to me. So that happens in the moment. And I thought to myself, oh my gosh, it would be so great if during the rest of the time that they're here for the next 3 days, if I could, monitor that mirror, see if anything happens, if it's tapped, touched at all, if anything comes in the vicinity of it, any kind of environmental changes occur that might trigger something to happen. And then I just monitored it the rest. So I went back in like this little RV, and I built something real quick, and I stuck it to the mirror, and then it monitored it the rest of the time. So a lot of the stuff also comes from, you know, something they wish they had in the moment, or some need that, that we kind of need to meet for their investigation.
Okay. So I'm going to guess the mirror never did another single thing after you put the monitoring piece on it.
Actually, I don't know, because I wasn't there. I'd have to ask them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I think that something strange happened, but I don't remember. It was over a year ago, too. So everyone's been waiting so long for lockdown to come out, but we finished filming it. Actually, last year this time.
So here's the first thing pops into my head when you said that, right? Yeah, we got this mirror, and I've got a client that I'm working with right now that has a big family, you know, like one of those old school, like it's the pre-cut matting, and then you can put your family photos in there, you know, and so it makes this like big collage of like years of like different family. But so, okay, so I'm working with a client right now that's got one that's probably like 30 inches wide and I would say, you know, 20 inches tall. And it has a like a 2D penny nail stuck into a 2x4 in the wall. So this thing is, there is no way this baby's moving. And yeah, it's on a wire, and so the penny nail has a head on it, right? So it's not like a framing. It's like a framing nail, not like a regular, you know, nailer nail, right? So it has the head on it too. So there's no way it's going to slide off the edge,
right?
And it's at an angle, not, yeah, well, not like that, but I mean it's at an angle, right? So that as we're sitting in the living room talking about what's happening in the house, this thing comes, lifts off, and flies all the way from the dining room table area all the way to the kitchen floor. Big piece of glass on it. Doesn't break the glass. Doesn't do nothing. We pick it up. Everything's fine. Put it back up. I'm thinking to myself, well, that's a true type of energy burst of something that's trying to get our attention. How cool would it be if you built a wall hanger that always had the ability to kind of see if there was any activity happening? I couldn't build it because that's not where my mind goes, but my mind goes to the, you know, like what if there was like a cool wall hanger that there's no way that something could slide off of it, but that it would be able to monitor it. It only woke up like when movement occurred. Let's put it that way, right? And then it would send a signal as activity was happening. Then you could document it real time and there'd be absolutely no disproving the fact that that is exactly what happened.
Right. Yeah.
But if she,
now, if
she
you build that, that, I want my name on it with you. You, well, can put mine really tiny. I don't care. I'm just saying.
Yeah. It would just be moving that device to the wall hanger.
Or your censoring monitor or whatever. Right. Just attach it to the wall hanging, whatever it is, the penny nail or the, you know, whatever happens to be the hanging object.
Right. Yeah. That's essentially what it did.
Cool.
If she does that, Dave, then she's going to get a message asking why she used a wall hanger.
Yeah.
Just deflect all those stupid things to me, and I will address them and take care of them for you.
Yes. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I will do that.
Yeah. I do really well with taking care of those things. So
that is our side project now, Dave. We are now Elizabeth Saint's PR firm.
Sure, absolutely. I'm good with that. I can throw like 10 hours a week, but it's going to be various times. I can't give you a commitment on time because life's just busy. But I could give you, you know, 8 to 10 hours a week of taking care of the trolls, and we'll run with that. So.
Oh my god! I hope it wouldn't be 8 to 10 hours worth. That would just be very sad.
Well, I hope not either. But as you move forward with your stuff, you know that you're only going to get more and more. You know what I mean? Right.
Attract more angry people.
Well, you would hope not, but regretfully, I kind of think that's how it works. I mean, the more your face is out there in the limelight, there's more people that sit at home and go, well, they're not special. Why do they get to do something? You know, and then they have a reason to not like you right off the bat. And
right. Anyway. Yeah. There's always something.
Yeah. Regretfully, there's always got to be something wrong.
Okay. Now that we have completely demonized society in general.
No, just trolls. Not society just in trolls. General, right? Society in general is still hanging in there.
Yeah.
So, staying on equipment, And then I'm not sure where we're at. I think I'm kind of trying to keep an eye on time, and I think we're way past where we should be already. But so one last quick question on equipment. So if you had the ability, no holds barred, everything that you would possibly need, you had at your fingertips, like what would be your dream piece of equipment if you could build it? Like what would you want to build, and what would be your dream piece to be able to document? I mean, would it be like some sort of like fantastic speech type of thing, or would it be like a like the 13 ghosts glasses like Chad had mentioned to us, or would it be? I mean, what would you know? Everybody's going to have something probably a little different. I'm just curious, kind of what yours is, and especially since you have the background
in
building stuff.
Oh, that's such a good question, because I think from a. So this is where the two sides of myself will compete against each other. You know, the side of me that, you know, everyone knew as the sensitive and ghost of Shepherdstown, but I would more label it as like the more metaphysical side of myself versus the engineer talking. And if I had everything at my fingertips and say, if everything were possible,
right,
I would say then I would easily go to, allowing people to have the experience or be able to perceive layers and dimensions in this universe that they can't normally perceive on a more consistent basis. Because I think sometimes without us really knowing it, we tap into that. You know, a lot of times we're just very psychic with each other, and even more so in places that have a lot of history and hold a lot of history at that location, or, you know, the energy that's at a location. I think that it would be super cool if we, on a more consistent basis, could control more the experiences that we have for ourselves. And it wouldn't necessarily be anything in terms of equipment moving everything forward. But I think that's the ultimate answer at the same time is like, answering that question, what happens after this?
Right.
So I think that if we could answer that question ourselves, I don't think a lot of people would really care so much about answering it for other people, if that makes sense.
So it would almost be like this beautiful paranormal fan, right, that would blow away everything that you visually see now and let you see the truth.
Yes.
Is that kind of painting a picture? Like, is that kind of what you're – because that's what I'm kind of seeing by what you just said. So kind of like blowing the
space. It would be like a space. Like, let's say the most haunted, most energized location we can think of. And inside this very epicenter of it, we put just a experience box where people can go inside of it and really peel back the layers of the location. And maybe you can experience different time warps in there. Maybe you can perceive like what we call the residual energy, or maybe we could just see the strange energies that surround us, or even like, you know, what might be affecting that location. Maybe it has high EMF. I don't know. Like the ability to see things that are normally visible to us, I think would be so intriguing. And then you could really focus on, oh, today I want to focus on more the scientific aspect of it, or today I just want to have an experience. And I think that we could learn a lot if we could have just like one aspect of control in moving the paranormal forward, that it would benefit us so much. Because right now what we always fight on all the time is we don't have any control in our environments. And then people themselves, you know, like one day we can go investigate something and, you know, nothing will happen. The next day, same spot, something crazy might happen. But then we're also entering ourselves into that space. And I think we a lot of times forget how powerful our own minds are and what we're able to actually make have experience. You know, we can interject a lot of things into a space. We could create things that other people experience. I really believe that. You know, if we go into the same space all the time and think that there's a demon in there, eventually there's going to be a demon in there, because we've all been putting that thought energy out there and believing it to be true. And other people start experiencing and feeling that. So
that goes right back into global consciousness, you know, where everybody has one thought pattern. And if everybody has that one thought pattern for long enough, you actually create what that thought is.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, that's a deep topic. Ooh. You know, I love the topic, but it's a deep topic. I love that answer, though. I think that's fantastic. I think that some people would their lives would be changed forever. And I think some people, their lives would be like shut down immediately.
I think that's the scary part, too, is, you know.
I think that'd be scary for some people. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. We're all intrigued, but do we really want to know the answers?
Right. Do you really want to see what's behind the curtain?
Yeah, because, everyone has these expectations of what they think they know it is, or experiences that they know have validated what they think they know it is.
Right.
And it's really hard sometimes for people to move away from that or open their mind up to the possibilities of other things being possible. And I think you're absolutely right. Like, a lot of people would be shattered by that kind of experience.
Yeah. So it's a good thing we're not building it tonight. So I'm just saying, that's a dream, right? I just say, I mean, I love the answer. And I think, you know, I love that. I thought of that question a while back, and I'm like, I'm going to ask every single person that we interview from here forward. I'm going to ask everybody the same question just to see, because it gives us a piece of who you really are and who Chad really, you know. And so everybody, it brings forward a little bit of you, you know, not some persona from television. It's this is what I would really like to see, you know?
Yeah. Yes.
So my question to actually to the both of you.
Uh-oh.
If you had that ability that you could look on the other side of the curtain, let's say that piece of equipment or whatever it is existed, would you do it?
No.
No, no. Not you either, Dave? Okay.
No.
Because I had a dream once. It reminds me too much of that.
Yeah. For me, I know that there's some things out there that I just don't want to have to go head to head with. And so part of me would be like, you know, I don't want them to be there. I don't want to be there and then see what's, and be able to move the veil and see what I know is there and then be like, damn it. You know, that's not, it wouldn't shatter my mind. It would just more or less frustrate me and I'd be angry. I don't want that. I want to stay positive and upbeat, and I like what I'm doing now. So.
Exactly. And it would take away from the journey, I think too, you know?
Yeah.
All of us are on this journey, and you don't want to, when you're really getting it going and really starting, I don't want to know the end yet.
No.
I don't want to peek ahead to the future, you know? Like, otherwise, why the hell did I come back here?
Right.
Why the hell am I here then? I shouldn't be here if I wanted to already know what I know.
Right.
You know, that's a part of it, too. I probably, you know, there's a good possibility that when I die that I would have already known that. So it's a reason why I don't know it. Doesn't mean it's any, like, it doesn't take away from me wanting to know everything, though, still. I just like the journey and the knowledge and pursuing it, because I think it's very intriguing and it helps everybody as a whole.
So I'll sum it up from my aspect here. So if we're walking down a path and Elizabeth is in front of me and she has a piece of bread and this piece of bread is like the all-knowledge bread and she drops a crumb, I'm going to race over to the crumb and I'm going to take it and it's going to help me move forward and it's going to give me a little tiny bit of what I want to know and what I want to see. But if she turns around and hands me the whole entire piece of bread, I'm not going to accept it because I don't want it. I don't want that, if that makes sense. So
yeah, I don't want it.
No, I just want the crumb. Just drop a crumb for me.
A little piece of crumb from everybody.
Right. Just drop a crumb for me and I'll run and get it and I'll be cool. And that will empower me for another 10 years, you know?
Yeah.
And send me directions that maybe I didn't think to go myself. So.
Hear, hear.
I just, for whatever reason, had Family Guy pop in my head with James Wood. Ooh, a piece of candy. Ooh, a piece of candy. Ooh, a piece of candy. is exactly what just popped into my head right there. So on that note, we are going to go to a quick break, and then we'll be back. Our guest is Elizabeth Saint, and you are listening to The Odyssey Files on Para X.
And during the few moments that we have left, we want to talk right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
UFOs, Bigfoot, cryptids.
All this is on the call. You think it's you listening to the words of Paralex?
Rat, where are you going?
I'm going back to the paranormal view, back where I belong.
Please, take me with you.
No, I'm through with everything here. I want to see if there's something left in life I haven't explored. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, Rhett, don't run to them. They talk about ghosts and hauntings, UFOs and all kind of supernatural scary stuff.
You'll never understand, will you, Scarlet?
No!
Well, that's your misfortune.
Rhett, if you go, where shall I go? What shall I do?
Frankly, my dear... Line?
Oh, you gotta be kidding.
That's the Paranormal View with your host, Henry Foister, Jeffrey Gould, and Barbara Duncan. Every Saturday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, exclusively on the Para-X Radio Network.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
Hey, everybody, it's Chad Lindbergh, and you are listening to The Odyssey Files with David and Michael. And let me tell you, it's almost as painful as a Skype glitch.
And we are back with Elizabeth Saint talking about now, as we transition in. Sorry, I like that smoothness.
That was smooth as hell. I can't even believe it. Like a piece of glass, so, baby.
So, your newest venture, the past at least six to eight months, at least, right?
Yeah, since February. Well, January 27th, but yes.
Okay, well then I was way off. My apologies. I have been following it. But you and Nick Roth have developed an online paranormal streaming platform.
Yes.
Why don't you go ahead and tell us about that?
Yes, VidiSpace. VIDI.space. So instead of .com, it's .space. I can't tell you how many times I've said that.
I'm going to say more than six.
It sounded rehearsed.
Yes, more than six, yeah.
Okay.
So the whole concept of starting an online streaming platform, really, it was just a simple conversation. And a lot of it was derived from our frustrations of cable networks and sometimes the way the content's portrayed or how it's put out there. And we really wanted to start doing just like live raw investigations that aren't cut. It's like what you see is what's happening, and that's kind of it. That was like the basis of the conversation. And then I was like, well, you know, I think that it could be so much more than that. Because, you know, we've met so many fantastic people along the way. And, you know, Nick has been pitching shows for years. The past couple years, I've been pitching shows with him. And the one thing that was always a major issue, it's like, if they don't like, you know, the people that you're pitching, or maybe they don't really quite get the concept, or you know, they do like it, but then like 6 months later, you see your same exact concept, you know, on the TV screen. Like, there's this, you're always trying to appease these larger players to try and get good content and good people out there to be seen. And it's like, well, let's cut that out And why don't we just showcase these people we believe in and put a platform up for them where everybody can be seen? And I'm not going to, you know, be that person that's like, oh, you're not good enough or whatever the case may be, or we don't like your people. You know, screw you, I don't like your people. we really just want it to be a platform. And what it's really become is a platform for the paranormal community, like a big, our big channel is The Haunted Space. Like, you know, the majority of content people watch is from The Haunted Space. And we started to branch out into other spaces. So now we have, you know, the horror, thriller, cryptid, UFO, live music, like drama, romance, comedy, everything that you can think of. Eventually I'm going to be having a genre space for that. But it's really starting to become a platform for the independent artist, independent filmmaker, and that's really like kind of the direction it's going in, is giving these people that aren't mainstream known an opportunity to be seen by a larger audience. And that way we can really all grow together. So that was kind of the start of it. But go ahead. You can ask me.
What then is for anybody who has a show, whether it's an idea, whether they've created it, whether it's a movie, documentary, you know, what is the process then for getting it on VidiSpace?
Yes, the process. Woo. So we have a submissions page for new content, and you just fill out the form, and then eventually we get back to everybody. There's been so many submissions, which has been really fantastic, but there's been so many submissions. I go through them one by one. I just contacted people this week that literally sent me a submission from like February, and I finally got a chance to look through all their content, because I really like to take my time and like really get to know the people. What are they doing? What are they pushing? What are they presenting us? We do have quality standards. You know, we won't take anything that's like off a cell phone, for instance. You know, we want people to shoot in 1080p because of our other outlets, you know, because we stream on Amazon Fire TV, and eventually we'll be up on Roku soon. And we have our iOS and Android apps. Like, I want people to have, you know, quality, but that I love the fact that it's very indie at the same time. So good sound and good video is like always really important to me.
Can I jump in one quick second?
So, yes.
Okay. So, and only because I don't want this to get lost. So, and then you can jump forward. So, what if you're looking at a submission, okay, and you're like, you know what, I really like the concept of the show, but the person doesn't have the financial means to have a $3,000 HD camera.
Yes.
Are they just excluded, or is that something that you guys potentially could work with? And somehow make that work?
No, we do make it work. So there's budgets that we have set aside every year for content that we can help produce. It's not very big right now because we're not very big. And most of VidiSpace has been self-funded. We don't have like angel investors, you know, like, you know, what is made from VidiSpace and what people bring to it is all put back in the VidiSpace. But yes, but then also we have several people that if you live in the vicinity of these filmmakers, like I'll schedule people to go and film you without them. Like they'll come and film you if you live in the vicinity and if you guys can work it out. Like, you know, within these walls, in the beginning of the year, We were grinding with them and going and filming them and traveling up and down the East Coast and filming them for their live shows. And then Tim Shaw, a lot of people know Tim Shaw from the paranormal community. He started filming them, and he's been doing it ever since. And I had Tim actually go and film an episode of The Occult Collector. And I sent him a camera to go film it. So it looked the way we wanted and it still had the high quality, but it was someone local that was able to get around to them.
Gotcha. That's a positive thing, right?
Yeah,
I mean, that's a hugely positive thing to hear you say that, you know, because now you're not just looking for, So you're truly looking for the indie artist with the fresh ideas. You know, you're not just looking for the people that have the $10,000 budget already themselves, who've got all the top end equipment, and they're just running around looking for their 5 minutes of fame.
No, exactly. Yeah. I mean, it helps when people can self-produce it because I can get it up like super quick. But yes, it might take a little longer. Like we, good point on this is Paranormal Hood. We just finished their first episode and put it up, and Jiggy has been on us for like 10 months. Like, when are you guys going to be able to come through Boston and like just film an episode with us? And we finally were able to do that. But yeah, the wait might be there, but I really, yes, if I believe in your concept and what your group is doing, and I feel like, you know, there's a voice and perspective that needs to be heard, like I will try to do my damnest to just get it out there, because I think like that's the whole point of it, you know, like that's the whole reason I started it. So yeah. Yeah.
Great answer. I like that. I'm glad to hear that.
A lot of people don't know like the ins and outs and inner workings of Vidi Space, you know. But yeah, one day I'll be able to clone myself, and then everything will be able to happen quicker.
That is actually a question that I wanted to ask just in general.
If she's going to clone herself, or
no. yeah, that actually was. Elizabeth, when you clone yourself because I would like one. Just say
it. Oh, that's
terrible.
Oh, I'm logging off now. It was great talking to you, Elizabeth. I appreciate it. It was great to see you again. T-shirt's on the way.
Thanks, guys. I'll rock the shirt. I'll send you some trolls.
Hey, I'll take care of them for you. Don't worry about it. I'm good at that. So,
anyway, no, that was not my question. it was from how busy your life was before Ghost of Shepherdstown and before Vidi Space as it is now. What are some of like the pros and cons of how your life has changed over the course of the last couple years?
Yeesh. Wow. Yes, my life has dramatically changed. So before Ghost of Shepherdstown, I was working for the DOD, with a 9-to-5 job, finishing up my college and, investigating with my paranormal team on the weekends. And sometimes I'd involve myself in film projects cause I'm a huge fan of indie film. I found a way to make that all balance, but honestly, I was always really unsatisfied because I didn't feel like I was always pursuing all of my passions. And then after Shepherdstown, everything just kind of changed, but I feel like for the better, because a lot of my passions started to merge into one. I felt like I could pursue everything that I've been holding off for a long period of time. That being said, 2 years ago, if you told me that I would be doing anything that I'm doing now, I would have not really believed you. Just because, I mean, my life was just in a totally different place. You know, I don't really have time for much these days. You know, I raise my 3-year-old daughter, and I'm a working mom, which, you know, it is hard enough on its own to do. And then when you add the starting a startup company at the same time, like that job is 24/7, you know? So, I am like the programmer. I am the person that does the live streams, but we recently have Chris Case. We have an intern for the company, and we have Heather Larson and Charlotte Hardin who do the social media, which is fantastic. But yeah, I do the business back end and the programming and all the major aspects of Vidi Space. So I'm wearing a lot of different hats right now. I'm customer service, whether people know it or not. You get a response to Vidi Space, it's for me. I actually got caught one day on the phone. Someone's like, at the end of it, they're like, thanks for helping me. Is this Elizabeth Saint? I'm like, oh yeah, that's me. So I'm wearing a lot of hats right now, but But honestly, as busy and as crazy as I feel, I am so content. And I think it's because for the first time in my life, I feel like I'm on the track and the path that I'm supposed to be on. And I spent a good portion of my life playing that kind of a little safe, you know, like going to be an engineer and I'm doing engineering. And I could have very well just continued that path, and I would have probably still been very unfulfilled. So I'm glad for the change. Sometimes I would love a vacation day, but honestly, like my dad always said, like, you got to love what you do. And I love what I do. So it's like, you know, it's not really work at the end of the day. I just wish I wasn't so tired all the time.
You wish they were like 4 hour days, 6 hour days, yeah. not 18 hour days.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Well, no, we get you. We got you.
So Dave, we were talking about something, before the show that I would definitely want to get to. We have about 9 minutes left, so I definitely want to get to that. So,
okay.
Dave, you definitely had the question.
Yeah, okay. So, all right, and we've already kind of pre-addressed this, but we're going to bring it back up now. So as I was looking at VidiSpace as the future channels, I think that's what it was called, or that's what I'm going to call them anyway. Future channels. So one of them was the Satanic channel. And personally for me, it was a personal question for me that came out, you know, that I just needed to ask you. And as we talked about it, I think it's really important that you share with everybody what you shared with Mike and I, because it really, it really put me at ease and kind of, you know, brought to light what you're trying to accomplish. So floor is yours. Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know what? It's so funny. The first time anybody ever saw anything about the Satanic space, it was twice. One obviously being the channel space block that you see on the website. You know, if you scroll all the way down, that's where you'll see it.
There's where I saw it.
But then also, we put out a promo with Lucian Greaves, the co-founder and spokesperson of the Satanic Temple, and in that little blip of the promo that we did. And it caused like a huge kind of uproar on social media. And I think that obviously, you know, you put the word Satan or Satanic anywhere near the paranormal community, you know, there's a lot of negative connotations associated with it, obviously for good reason. So I lost a lot of people that day, to say the least. And it was difficult for me, you know, especially starting a new business. I think that's what a lot of people didn't understand. It's like, you know, you're opening up this area where a lot of people, like, you don't have that much content on there yet. It's not like it's getting lost in the shuffle of all these other things. You know, we're not like a Netflix where, you know, you have thousands of titles. And if you see something or some documentary or some like horrific film, you kind of like pass it by because you're like, it's just one of many. I'm not going to get mad about it.
Right.
And I lost some show hosts that day. I had a few very tough conversations with people as well that were putting future content out. And I think ultimately it's because, you know, people don't want that to rub negatively on their brands. And I totally get that. But what I couldn't get past is the fact that, you know, like I was raised Catholic, you know, I'm all about positivity and light and shedding light on this world. And I couldn't turn my back on a group of people, a subculture that was very misunderstood, because you hear about Satanism and Satanists, and a lot of times you hear about, you know, the Satanic Panic and all these negative associations with Satanism in general. And I got to know a group, the Satanic Temple, through a good friend of mine, actually, Bob Mersch, of the Talking Board Historical Society. And they were doing this Ouija board kind of showing, at the Satanic Temple in Salem. And I had never been to Salem. I had never been to, I was like going in, I was like, oh my God, what if someone sees me going into the Satanic Temple? But I was going to support my friend, you know, and he's not a Satanist. He has a lot of friends that are Satanists. And I think that, you know, it's so funny to me now to look back, because I was acting the way the people acted to me when I first said, you know, oh, we're going to have the Satanic space. And when I got to know these group of people, at the end of the day, the Satanic Temple, it's not going to be like all Satanists. It's not going to be like all Satanic content. At the end of the day, it's just, you know, one subculture group of people, the Satanic Temple. They actually don't believe in Satan. When you get to know them, they don't believe in anything paranormal. They don't worship the devil or anything like that. They're really political activists, and they do a lot of work in that regard. And you can just Google them, and they're all over the news sometimes. And whether you believe in their mission or not is besides the point. But they really fight hard for, you know, equal rights, and they fight hard for their political activism. And I was like, you know what? It would be great to do some documentary pieces and show people what you're really about, because there's a very strong misconception between who you are and what you do. And I was like, you know what? I think it would be great to put you guys on the platform, and we'll work it out for a period of time, and we'll do some documentaries, segments, and you guys can create your own content shows, and people can really get to know, you know, what it is that you represent, which I think a lot of people, when the content comes out, will be surprised. And I'm really excited about that. They just found out, I think it was just posted today, actually, their documentary is going to be premiering at Sundance around the time that the Satanic space will also be coming to surface. So I think a lot of people will get to see more and more about what they're truly about. And I know the most recent uproar that people had with them was their statue being used on the Sabrina Teenage Witch on Netflix. There was that huge suing that occurred and everything like that.
Yep.
So it'll be interesting to show content and have interviews and show things from a perspective for people to really understand and get to know them if they're curious. You know, I'm not, I like, who would I be if I was to ostracize a group of people? Like, that would go against what I'm trying to do, which is, you know, to represent the subcultures that, you know, get a lot of shit all the time. Because even us as paranormal investigators, we get a lot of shit from a lot of people all the time. And I really want to bring to light all the different groups of people out there. You know, we'll have the God space eventually. I just need content for it. Bring it my way. You know, we're working on the inspirational space as we speak. There's like 3 different shows that we're working on right now for that. Like, I'm all about positivity and everything like that, but I can't just ostracize a group of people because of the title they decided to call their group. And I'm never going to put anything on the platform that I don't personally believe in, or I think that's going to be negative in any way, shape, or form, because that's just not who I am. But I think, you know, the best thing I could do from my perspective is to not be scared of putting controversial content on my platform, because I think people are going to get mad. You know, like, people make documentaries all the time and they get a lot of shit for their perspectives and viewpoints. But at the end of the day, it gets people, you know, talking. It gets us conversing more with each other and kind of fleshing out our differences and not being so terrified of a group of people just because, you know, Satan is in the name. And that's sad, too, because there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of people that are Satanists out there and they're not doing anything wrong. They're just living their life, you know. Could be your doctor, they could be, you know, your lawyer, whatever the case may be. But it's just, you know, I want to just disassociate people from thinking that it's all negative all the time. But yeah, it was a shame to me when I lost people that day, and I tried to explain it to them, but I also understand their viewpoint. You know, as light workers and as people that work in this community, a lot of people, it just doesn't matter. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what the content is. It could be the most positive content on the whole platform. It could be the most uplifting material. But because of that name, a lot of people just will not tolerate it. And that's fine.
But you know what's disturbing about that? And I love that response that you just gave. And that's very similar to what we talked about prior to the show. So, but is the superficiality of the people that that are going to base it solely on the name?
Yeah.
You know, and that's a shame. Because then who are you really as a person? Not you, obviously, you in general, in air quotes. Who are you as a person if you're going to basically blast somebody because of their name and not get, you know, not give them the opportunity to maybe spend an hour out of your life to see what they have to say?
Right, exactly.
Okay, so unfortunately, we are out of time. And that is most unfortunate, because I know that we could continue talking for another hour.
Well, we've been talking for like an hour and a half already.
No, I know, just, but
we haven't been rolling right. for the whole time.
I was just thinking maybe do a part two, but that's okay.
Yeah.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
Yeah,
for coming on.
Guys.
Obviously, we'll have her be part of the fourth guest Hall of Fame here shortly.
I'm ready.
But thank you again. And that does it for us here at the Odyssey Files. So everybody have yourself a good week.